Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back to the Geeked Up Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything nerd related. I am your host, D, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts. The first of which that I got I heard got washed in Yu-Gi-Oh last weekend.
So nigga, that's what you get. Fuck your intro, nigga. I don't even like that shit. That's what you get.
Crazy. You guys respectfully rinsed. Respectfully rinsed in Yu-Gi-Oh. So,
hey, okay, yeah, yeah, my man, my man. Don't do that. Don't jump in the mix. Don't do that.
Respectful.
Yo, don't add on. Yo, that's what. Yeah, I'm never coming over again. That's done. I'm never sliding up. I'm never pulling up. Don't call me, nigga. That's it. What's going on, y'all? Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Don't be throwing disses at y'all. All right. Out of Pocket's been hitting me up. Like, I'm thinking, I'm debating on hitting up, linking up with Out of Pocket. Y'all got one more. All right.
How many followers you got? Like, two? My second co-host who likes to talk about games but don't play none. Say what up, Abdul.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Black History Month, man. God, good to be here.
There you go.
Man, and speaking of Black History, it's 21 years of Get Rich or Die Trying. I had to say it today, so not going to talk about it later. So just going to throw it out there. Salute to my baby daddy. So
my baby daddy was crazy at the end of that, but salute.
And my last co-host, who is trying to make me spend money I don't have on these damn Yu-Gi-Oh cards, say what up, Roy.
What up, it's your boy Roy,
fake friend. Fuck that nigga.
Hey man, don't be mad. You always got.
First and foremost, you don't do your guests like that. Like, let me get a sec real quick, please. You don't treat your guests like that. You don't bring your guest over. Like I said, the way you set it up, I didn't even think we about to duel. I thought maybe we about to nerd out. Like, look what I got. Nigga invited me to a fucking basement tournament. Then this nigga got the nerve and all gall and audacity to, you know, there's a special magic. What's the name of that nigga? The one that you need like five spellcasters to summon.
Quintet.
Yeah, I know you know it. Fuck, nigga. Yeah, this nigga gonna have the nerve to summon this nigga on me, bro. I'm not.
You really got your
back.
Salad tossed on, son.
You're not supposed to lose if you invite someone over for the game, though. You're not, like, it would look worse on Roy if he lost, because I don't think you would let him live it down either. Like, if I invite you over for Street, okay. Well, like, it's more embarrassing if you lost. Like, but you know, Roy was supposed to beat you, so
I don't know.
Was he really
good? I mean, I'm a good host, you know, so offer you everything but a dub. I think that's reasonable.
That was crazy. that was hilarious. Fuck you, nigga. I'm not coming back.
If you're enjoying the audio version, please be sure to check out the video version on our YouTube channel. And please rate the show 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Your rating helps us move up the algorithm and bring in new listeners. Now, with the promotion out of the way, let's get into the nonsense of the week, where Aiden Ross has been getting fucked left and right by multiple hosts. The first one was 21 Savage that scanned him out of what?
250,000. Tried to scan him out of 250K, but he caught on to it. But yeah.
Damn. That sucks. Yeah. Was it a card game or a gambling or something like that?
Yeah, it was a card game.
Which is, hey, Roy. I see it. I need you to chill the fuck out. Don't say I got Ross, nigga, at your crib. Chill out. Don't do that, nigga.
Hey, next time we can play for money, but you know,
no. We're not.
That's all
that.
Roy heard from this. He's like, damn, I could have got money off of Merle. I could have written it in the chat.
Yeah. Hey, there's a new anime to watch at my crib. Come on over.
Bring the back also.
Yeah. Nah, you got me fucked up.
So Aiden also got scanned recently by Cardi. I don't listen to that man, but apparently
Playboy Cardi,
he got scanned with $2 million and a Ferrari. Cardi showed up on stream, danced to his own songs in a mask for 5 minutes and dipped out. Said nothing about his album or the music and just like, all right, nigga, peace. So I was like, $2 million and a Ferrari, son. How many L's can Aiden take in like less than 2 weeks?
48 hours. They smell blood, man. The sharks smell blood.
Are they truly L's for him? You know, because he's with Kick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, he's their front line. You know, there's clearly a lot of money behind him. You know, due to Shorty, you know, leaking out that, you know, that cell phone vid. I mean, the nigga got a warehouse. Like, you know, he's doing the Rob Dyrdek shit. You know, taking a page out of his book. Like, he looks like he's doing a fantasy factory over there. So I think he's all right. I think that, you know, he brushed off that. That's what it is. How do you guys feel about that?
What's your view?
It's like Christmas.
It's a win.
I like that. I like that. Wish I could steal that answer.
I don't know. Like, that's crazy to be getting that much. $2 million to show up on a stream. Like, rappers don't even get that money from shows. Like, so, and I'm willing to bet Playboi Carti isn't making that money. So to get that in 5 minutes, salute to you. Get your money. I think I saw something on Twitter of like an old tweet that resurfaced of Aiden where he was bashing WLR album or something of Playboi Carti. Mm-hmm. And people are saying like, what, this is kind of his way to spite him back. So if that's the case, that's like more of a double win, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not a fan of Aiden Ross. Like, I don't hate him and he's nothing against him, but he's kind of like cringy to see. But hey, nah, do what you gotta do.
This is like par for core for Playboi Carti. This man don't give a fuck about no positive PR. It's only negative PR. So I don't even know what you expect. You knew you were going to get scammed. Come on now. Like, the man don't even show up for his concerts. Oh, I think you about to show up for your stream for $2 million and kick it with you. I'm pretty sure he asked him, like, yo, you play games? Like, Playboi Carti playing 2K? Come on now. Yeah. No, this is just. But people did say this could be a fake rollout, which. Because, you know, Playboi Carti is supposed to Ben drop his album. This is a decent-ish rollout. Same thing for 21. He had just dropped an album. So it's all PR in a sense, or, you know, some pub. But, like, I don't know. This isn't the route to go, I don't think.
I'm rolling with you, because if memory serves, you know, my memory's all over the place. Wasn't it just, like, literally, like, maybe a week or 2 weeks ago that the whole Kai Cenat thing about his money lost to, I think, to 21 came out and shit like that? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So this might be a continuation of that, because I truly don't, like, I know these niggas got it like that, but I really don't see, you know, that type of money really being put up like that. I think this is all just hearsay and just, you know, shit just to, you know, get motherfuckers locked in and whatnot.
Not at all. I wonder if streaming or streamers would be the new like podcast boom too. Like the way like a lot of rappers started becoming podders and shit like that, because the barrier entry was so low. So I don't know if it's more so kind of like, damn, they're seeing all these streamers get this bag. I was making fun of Sneeko not too long ago, but you know, for him catching on, putting Neon and shit on his stream and like kind of leeching off of these people's audiences. But looking at it now, seeing like 21 or Playboi Carti, honestly, I don't really like Playboi Carti either personally. Yeah, Nicki Minaj is on there too. Yeah, Nicki Minaj, but like seeing them get some like notoriety off these streamers, and you have like people like Elliot Wilson calling that's not real hip hop journalism or something. It's like, this is how it's evolving right now. Like, this is the most front facing way to look at your audience and talk to them directly, show them your personality, whatever. But I kind of respect this move out of Playboi Carti. I don't ever want to say that, but for him to play this continued Batman lifestyle, being Mr. Mysterious and let me steal your money. I did see the most recent thing now. Apparently a bunch of rappers are hitting up Aiden Ross or something to come up on their stream, because I'm sure they'd come for a lot less than $2 million. Like, yeah, come on, man. And, like, oh yeah, that's boss. Yeah, I didn't even catch that.
That's crazy.
Actually, son, I'd come for $2 million. What the fuck, son?
No, yeah, that's
boss.
A fact. I would. Yeah.
What do y'all think of Aiden hitting up Drake when Drake released his leaked his sausage everywhere?
Man.
Oh shit.
Oof. Come on now.
You guys saw the photo, right? You guys.
I found it accidentally on purpose.
Okay.
He has a hog on him, so respect to that man.
Just working perfectly fine.
Crazy. I mean, I don't know what was funnier to hear, that nigga saying that or his caption that recently got deleted. I wasn't high. What that nigga say?
I wasn't hiding my meat from the world. I was hiding.
Yeah,
that was crazy. I'm sorry to say that about your meat, like it was your child. Is crazy.
You gotta play into it, son. Like, you already got like. Yeah. What more? I got caught red-handed, dick in hand, camera in other hand, swinging. I gotta lean into it, son. I can only joke about this.
It was meant to go somewhere. You see the opposite reaction that academics got. You know what I mean? This is like the polar opposite.
His was hard. Like, academics was soft. So.
Yeah, see, it's you got an advantage. An advantage right there, right? Yo, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to say. If there's a trend of celebrity meat pics going around right now, but I'm looking. All right, no homo. I'm gonna be checking for it. I gotta see.
Why does it feel like each year we have a pod where, or there's a few episodes we talk. talk about somebody's recent meat. Like, what's going on with this?
They're showing it. We're talking about hot. It, right? That's what they wanted to be news, right?
Y'all remember when Safari's nude allegedly got leaked, and then he had to play off of it. Like when he went to Breakfast Club, he was like, Charlamagne, like, I had to think really long and hard about this decision. Like, he kept playing and using puns about his he kept using puns about his dick. And then I think he got like some, like, I don't remember. I think they said he got like some like condom deal or some shit like that. Like, I'm like, that's fire.
That is. Shout out.
Yeah. Somebody, there was a lady, woman, I saw that took Drake's bar from Bad Bitches, and that bar that he had towards the end about the long dick nigga, something. I was like,
yeah.
So he's been telling us this whole time he's got a hog. Huh? Salute. Salute. Yeah. Thought it was cap. That was cap to your rap, my brother.
It's not. I believe him, man.
I don't know what to say about it, son. It was meat. Like, shout out to him. He likes it.
It
looks like there was positive reception.
I have a question for y'all, because this they'll keep in my head. I don't think I'm ever gonna think about the word wag the same word way again, you know.
Like, well, you watched the video. That's crazy.
It comes up on your timeline. Not even on your timeline. Yeah, it comes up on your replies, and no matter what you're clicking on. It came, bro, early in the morning. It's like search day off.
Morning wood, huh?
I even shared it to one of my friends, but then I felt crazy.
Easy layup. Thank you.
Thank you.
You shared it to the group chat?
Yeah, I shared it. I shared in the group chat and I unsent the message. I was like, nah, just search the name. You'll find it.
Which group chat did you put it in? Put it in office. I'm getting off that group chat.
I was like, yo, y'all seen that Drake leak? And they probably thought I was talking about a song.
I'll say I'm jealous, nigga. That's crazy.
I don't want to.
At least gonna send it like vanish mode, like, you know.
I just sent it directly. I was too excited. So,
damn,
so
bro, no invis. Just like straight meat here. That's crazy.
That's true. Hey guys, like, I know you always wonder.
I might get kicked out the chat for this one. This might be
definitely
a violation.
We're getting kicked out for less, so you know.
Exactly. So Malata, shout out to Drake.
Yeah, so shout out to the six guy. He's a 12 guy.
That's a lot. That's
for the dogs, for real, son. I'm out here. I respect. So
all the dogs.
Moving on to internet culture, Abdul, I'm gonna throw this one to you for your comedian, man.
Yeah, man. First of all, shout out to the Austin family. DeAndre got Joe Rogan and Shane Gillis and me to move there, so salute. as y'all know, Shane Gillis actually, it was, as y'all might have heard of, he's pretty much like, he was an up-and-coming comedian around like 2019, 2018, and he was announced to be like a castmate on SNL. And what happened was, like, the day after he was announced, like, his podcast one video episode, not only say leaked, but an article came out about like the racial slurs he was using around like Asian people and around like Muslim people and stuff like that, saying like there's only one way into Muslim heaven, whatever. But anyways, as soon as he was announced, he was pretty much fired. And what that did, similar to ZV Bear and all the Taylor Swift pictures that leaked, he actually quadrupled his audience. So what happened was, like, he didn't really have like a fall from grace, because he was on his way up. He essentially was about to be an SNL star, and because he was cut short, people almost got like tuned into him from just trying to learn like what happened. It's almost like he got canceled before he even launched, right? And now he kind of had this slow burn of success where he continued to show like some humility about it, apologize about it, but he also had that Joe Rogan boost where, you know, all of them always like talking about your attack and free speech. He didn't really lean that way too much. He kind of leaned on like, you know, what I did was wrong and it wasn't an attack per se, but I was hurt by it. And now, lo and behold, I would say 3-4 years later, Shane Gillis is now about to make his return to SNL to host an episode. So shout out to him. He has a great special. He's funny and everything. But I wanted to ping that to you guys as like, I think this is one of our first few examples, or not first, but one of the very few examples we've seen of like a comedian or a celebrity survive cancellation. I don't know what y'all think about that, if this was deserved or if other comedians y'all know have even exhibited anything like that before. But yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty funny guy. I mean, not gonna hold you. Dude is, from the clips I've seen, the stand-up I've seen, just from his name, just been hearing his name like the last few years, it's clear he's definitely talented. Now, in terms of other comedians getting canceled and then making a run like this, I don't know if there's been one that's making this type of run, because like you said, this is like
you're about to get the
tremendous, you're about to go up, hit this Saturday Night Live, you're probably going to kill Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. You also just got your Bud Light deal. You know, the conservatives are now backing you, thinking that you're just like,
he represents us.
Yeah.
They always
neocon or some shit, even though he's apparently a liberal as fuck. But yeah, definitely on the rise. But this does kind of remind me of Louis C.K. and the fact that he got canceled, you know, for
lost his show and everything. So.
From
Louis C.K. came back. That's a good one, because he did survive that, even though what he did was kind of wild, like talking about like masturbating on camera or on the phone while talking to women and shit. And like literally his return special, he addresses that elephant in the room, like, yo, yeah, this happened, which is crazy.
But on the other hand, though, you have somebody like Aziz Ansari, who didn't even really do a whole lot, but like, yeah. This man didn't even come back for season 3 or 4 of his own show. That's how much he did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just like, hey, bro, I'm backing off this. Like, you know.
Damn.
Shout out to Master.
That sucks. No, go ahead, DeAndre. Sorry.
No. I was saying, I saw like a few of his jokes. I think the reason he's able to bounce back from this, because he's actually funny. Like, his stand-up's actually really good. He makes pretty good jokes. I heard some of his talks about, like, what do you, like, Muslim and like Asian hate speech.
Yeah.
I've heard worse, bro. I've heard so much worse. But those were actually funny jokes. So I think the reason he's able to make this comeback, because he was somewhat apologetic, and because he's actually funny. So shout out to him for being able to survive all this.
I thought he got canceled because of his homophobic slur. I think he used a homophobic slur, because one of the cast members from SNL is I think openly gay.
I mean, the Asian gentleman, I believe. In the pod, and it was funny because he even like what you're saying, they did say something along those lines in that episode. And like, he didn't, like what DeAndre was saying, like, he is funny and he did show some humility. But on top of that, he was kind of like, instead of making it seem like it was some like attack on free speech, he openly admitted that, yo, I mean, they found the one video episode we recorded and then even when he's like, even like when people were responding and trying to defend him and be like, dang, they must have went digging deep to find that. And he's like, nah, Loki, it's like right there, the first episode. it's really likable, because he's kind of he's also not like a, I think you see this thing with a lot of comedians where they get like really, really showboaty and stuff. Hmm. And they like to think of themselves as like these philosophers and that they hold the truth. Like, I like Joe Rogan. I really do. I think he actually has like good episodes and he's insightful and stuff like that. I also think he leans a little too far with his like circle of comedians sometimes, with saying like, we are the defenders of truth and things like that. And comedy is all about free speech. And if we can't say anything, then who can say any, like, everyone should be allowed to comment on stuff like that. So obviously he also had that Joe Rogan boost, but he wasn't one of those Joe Rogan sphere comics. Funny enough, even Bert Kreischer, if y'all are familiar, he addressed the Cat Williams attack, when Cat Williams is like, Joe Rogan has like 6 comedians he's trying to make funny that ain't never been funny. And Bert Kreischer was like, he's definitely not talking about Shane, but he's probably talking about us. Like, that's funny. Like, across the board, people like Shane. It's cool to see. But
so you're saying that he's better than Andrew Schultz?
Oh. I don't think he's, that's funny you bring that up. Ooh. I definitely think Andrew Schultz is funnier. I definitely see that the pendulum has swung the other way on Schultz. Like, Schultz is someone that was also built by the people, and now he's experiencing also like a massive superstardom. His episodes on Flagrant getting like millions of views and everything. But there's a viral clip going around of Shane Gillis on Schultz's podcast, where like, they were laughing at these people with Down syndrome and stuff, and Shane Gillis is up there kind of like, yo, this isn't funny, like, what y'all are doing up here isn't funny at all, that type of thing. And like, it was a weird, awkward moment, because Shane Gillis had a couple things where he makes fun of Schultz, where he's like, Schultz has these weird epiphanies and things like that. So they had this weird like tension. I know a lot of like YouTubers have kind of broke it down, but I don't think he's funnier than Schultz. I think Schultz is extreme. I just think people give Schultz a lot of shit because he overly laughs at stuff, and he can be really, really animated and stuff. And
would you just say, like, maybe Shane Gillis is probably a funnier stand-up comedian, but Schultz is like the Will Smith, like, he's a funny guy, like, he's funny, you know?
I, I just think they have really similar styles of comedy, but I definitely think Schultz is more animated. But like literally even their subject matter in some of their stand-ups or whatever, like when they talk about like political stuff, a lot of like Schultz will talk about like, man, the MAGA hat, that's like white people's teardrop tattoo or something. And Shane Gillis leans a lot into like the Donald Trump and
Donald Trump Biden. Is funny as hell.
Yeah,
is
Donald Trump is very spot on. Yeah. But he's like, what did he say? He was like, Biden might be the first president you can assassinate with a punch because this is steps away from death. Like, they have really similar styles of comedy where they teeter that line. But I mean, personally, I think Schultz is funnier. I think Schultz is more established to me. And that might be my bias. I'm not mad at someone saying Gillis is better. I think the hate pendulum also for Schultz is coming from him looking like an egomaniac now. Like, Gillis still comes off as like a really relatable, down to earth person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like normal. And Schultz looks like very Hollywood now. So that's my thought. Hey, I don't know what y'all think.
Both two scary white boy names, especially Shane. Like any white boy named Shane, that's a wild nigga. Like, you know, he's up to some bullshit. Like, let's just get that one out there. But Shane definitely covers comedy bits and stuff like that. Like, it's hilarious. The one joint that comes to mind besides that Donald Trump joint that came across my feed is him talking about his I believe his uncle making grilled cheese sandwiches like in the middle of the night and shit like that.
He brings them to the restaurant because he's on shift and have grilled cheese.
So, nose up and I'm making them sandwiches and shit. He say that at the table biting them joints. But that joint's pretty hilarious. So man. Both Shane's fire. I'm glad that, you know, life did a complete, you know, 360 for him. Ironically enough, he's going back to the one spot that, you know, that to some comedians is the pinnacle. Like, a lot of comedians thrive and strive to get on SNL. I mean, it's so, you know, it's going on for God knows how long. It's just
do y'all see him get a Netflix special after this SNL skit?
Oh, hell yeah.
Doesn't he already have one? Beautiful I'll dog.
Like, getting, like, yo, here. Like a multitude of, like, yo, you got to deal with Netflix. Like, Dave Chappelle be dropping specials off the
random. No. Not to that. Dude. Not a Dave Chappelle type of thing, but I could definitely see maybe one to two special from him.
Something's about to happen for sure. This man's about to have a crazy 2024 for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of his show?
Say that his sketch comedy, like, I'll see like clips of that. I haven't watched it fully, but I've seen like clips of it on TikTok. Is funny. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like, it was a long period of time where I was kind of found sketch comedy to kind of be like whack after a while. That's why, like, even when you're talking about like Saturday Night Live, even though that was like a staple for its time, Mad TV, they were funny as hell when they came out. But like now, like, how many Saturday Night Live sketches are you going to see of Donald Trump impressions and stuff?
It,
like,
how many times are you going to who it is and what it is? Honestly,
who's doing them? That's a
Saturday
fact.
Night Live, like you know, religiously, but I do catch like clips here and there. Some of them are funny. Like, some of them are funny, especially
They just did a recent Donald Trump joint, and that joint was garbage. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even though Jim Carrey, one of my favorite.
Yes. I forgot about that shit. Damn. He smoked that joint.
I was just saying, like, Jim Carrey and shit has done like a Biden impression. I love Jim Carrey, but I didn't find that remotely funny. And it's one of them things where it's like, I think they just have like the star power, and like you said, comedians do look at it as like a staple. But I definitely almost look at, I think Saturday Night Live has had like the worst ratings in the last few years, apparently. I feel like their only option was to get Shane back. I am curious what he said to them in that meeting as like, so wasn't worth it, huh? Like, clearly y'all seen my success on the rise, and now like,
nah, he's really pretty humble, son. He was just like,
yeah, you can't say that he's humble and then say he walked in there with his dick on the table. That's crazy.
I hope he did. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, there's no way you're gonna not address it in your opening monologue. Oh, funny to be back here. Like,
yes.
Because you know he's gonna say something along the line. But yeah, like, it's just interesting because he did address it, and then there's other comedians that got canceled, not like Louis C.K., but people that deserved it, like Chris D'Elia, where they just act like nothing happened, right? Or like other people they might attack or something, like where they act like it's just like an attack on free speech, or they don't just want to address any haters. And that's what I think Shane Gillis did well. I just want to switch gears real quick to another Rogan Sphere comic that refuses to acknowledge feedback, and it's my boy Brendan Schaub. I'll be quick on this, but I just wanted to know what y'all think about him. Y'all are familiar with Brendan Schaub, the MMA fighter turned comic who had the Rogan stamp, One of his main things that people shit on him for, one, that he's not funny at all. Two, he doesn't address any criticism. And three, he had a Showtime special within a year of being a comic that was like panned as one of the worst specials ever. Mm. And like, I think it's like a 1.7 out of 10 rating on like IMDb or something. Like, it's really, really bad. And it's one of the, he's honestly known. Like, if you, yeah, I watched it. I watched both of his specials, to be honest.
And is it really bad, or is people just like spreading negativity?
It's like, it's like hacky humor. So it's not like I wouldn't laugh or anything per se, but I definitely kind of, I guess, like, almost commended it as like, all right, he's trying. No, this didn't need to be a special, but I don't think it was as bad as other people. I think the comedians didn't like him because he came off as like arrogant and stuff. And then the last thing that really put the nail in his coffin, I think Roy can attest to this, is that all of his feedback, when people criticize people like Joe Rogan or Brendan Schaub or somebody like that, he did this thing where he says, like, I don't even see people that leave comments or negative feedback. They're like homeless cats to me. Oh. So much so that his entire Reddit has flipped on him, that there's just a dedicated fan base to hating on Brendan Schaub. Even Shane Gillis has said it in his podcast. He's like, yo, sometimes I go over to Fighter and the Kid, which is Brendan Schaub's podcast. He's like, sometimes I go over there to just look at the hate and stuff and be like, damn, I can't handle this.
I'm doing that for myself.
And it's crazy. But he recently announced that he's retiring from comedy. And a lot of comedians had things to say, so I don't know how much y'all have maybe followed Brendan Schaub.
Well, this man said he's retiring from comedy, but I'll still do local shows, you know. I might go out to, you know, North Cal, SoCal.
$5.
I'm not going to go out on the road. I got to stay next to my family. That's what he said. And honestly, it's just, yeah, it's sad to see a man, you know, go down like this. Because one, it's hilarious to watch somebody fail, but also, like, you know, some duality in it. Because that's what these men, this what the Fighter and the Kid, like, subreddit, and that's what all they've been doing is just, they've been laughing at the failure. But now I think some of them are like, damn, we kind of, it's getting to the point now where it's not as funny anymore. Because, you know, we can't keep punching our, they call locales. Like, you can't just keep on beating on them. But, you know, like, people have suggested maybe he should, like, use the hate for his own gain. You know what I'm saying? Like, use the subreddit to,
how do you
know,
use the hate for the game?
Right.
Address it.
Use, like, look at mean tweets, mean Reddit comments, you know, make that content. But my thing is,
oh,
y'all ain't never had to read mean comments. So you don't know how that makes you feel. So, yeah, that's a great suggestion. But obviously, it's cool. If you've been paying attention to Brendan Schaub in the last few years, he's been literally saying that this shit has been taking a toll on my mental health. Like, all that.
Nigga, don't love that you say that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, because, like, the jokes are funny. The jokes are funny. Yeah. And we don't like Rogan Spear comics.
The jokes on him are hilarious.
But at the same time, we can't all be talking about, you know, mental health this, mental health that, and then be shitting on this man to, you know, disagree to the point where he had to quit comedy. That's insane.
Yeah, bullied him out of there.
Wasn't he on Logan Paul's podcast?
Yeah, on an episode. Yeah.
Oh, just an episode.
He's on all the podcasts. He's had like three or how many pods he's at that time?
Bro, he has
three?
Like nine. Oh, like, literally, he has a podcast where it's just him, called like the Schaub Show. He has like a car show. He has the Fighter and the Kid. He has the Golden
Hour.
With Chris D'Elia. Yeah, I follow. Yeah. I like the whole comedian side of
Chris
YouTube.
Chris D'Elia.
D'Elia. So, like, and that's what's crazy is, like, Schaub, not only is he like hated for those reasons, but like on air, he steals people jokes. Like, he stole, he stole some jokes from Scholes and stuff like that. He steals jokes from, like, what was that guy named? Like, Nick Swartzen or something?
Like, stand-up jokes or, like...
Oh, stand-up jokes. Like, Nick Swartzen has some, like, fajita joke or something like that, and he stole it directly from him. But, like, on the pod he has with Chris D'Elia, like, he'll literally verbatim take, like, his long, drawn-out, like, accentuations and shit on stuff. And it's so funny because, like I said, if you search his name on YouTube, people have breakdowns of this where they just show, oh, Brendan stole another joke here today, or Bapa. They call him by his nicknames. They make fun of his slurs and his speech. God, oh, his CTE is acting up. Like, it's rough. It's rough. So much.
I'm like, you want to make fun of the content, fine, but damn, nigga, leave me alone.
Damn. No, like, he copied this one thing, which was really bad. I don't know if y'all can ever find, but there was, like, this Bud Light thing where I think, like, Bud Light, I think, was sponsored or something with like LGBTQ.
Yeah, Dylan Mulaney. Yeah. It's literally, she got one can and it set the conservatives on fire. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hold on, what happened?
And no, go ahead, Roy.
It's a trans content creator got a sponsorship with Bud Light and got one single can of Bud Light with her face on it.
Yeah.
And
that's the shit that Kid Rock lost his shit over,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And that's okay, why it's funny that Shane Gillis is now. Yes.
But yeah, go ahead. There was a TikTok comedian that made like a meme out of that and like pretending like it was like real gay to like deep throat a bottle. And then Brendan Schaub like did that in his stand up. So like, yeah, it's like, it's crazy. He just stealing direct content and stuff from it. I don't know. Like other comedians even talked about when he announced his retirement of I need to focus on my kids as like, well, your kid only needs one surgery. Like they don't care. I do feel bad for him. I like y'all ever seen that Netflix documentary Don't F with Cats or something? And you know how it like
the fuck,
man. I don't know if you ever seen it. It was pretty much like them hunting down a serial killer, but essentially what it was pointing out is that like the people that are hunting this serial killer through Facebook are like so obsessed with this person even though he's doing something wild. It looks weird on y'all to be this like hate obsessed with him. And like Roy was saying, it's like y'all really bullied him out of comedy, low key. So much so that he's doing a podcast with a comedian that's actually canceled, mm-hmm. Chris D'Elia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like comedy prison or something.
Certified pedophile. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, he's in prison because guess what? Yeah. He got a livelihood. And he got to figure it out because he ain't fighting no more. So he don't retire from nigga in comedy in the last few years.
So all I heard was that this is the MMA version of Carlos Mencia.
Essentially. And he and it's funny because he talks about Carlos Mencia and what happened and stuff like that. He's been on Bobby Lee's podcast, Bobby Lee, who's been like a mentee of Carlos Mencia and things like that. So, and I haven't even touched on everything that happened last year, but he's had a million and one controversies on top of being a bad comedian and like shitting on his audience and stuff.
Oh yeah. Let's just say it real quick. Cause that's what people in the comments going to say. Yes. He did get caught cheating on his wife apparently. And was it worth it?
Who
knows? I mean, this is like apparently it's happened multiple times. So people use that to justify
it must
going
have been
crazy
it,
on him. So don't ever get caught cheating, guys.
Yeah, even his his baddie wrangler, they called him Mark something, I don't know, but he like exposed them for saying Brendan cheats. He was showing like screenshots and shit like that. Like on top of that, there was the not Tiger Belly, but that other podcast with Kalila and them. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called, but like they were essentially saying something how like this unfunny comedian try to walk me to his car to try to ask me to suck his dick or whatever and shit like that. Like they try to insinuate that. And they were like, oh, I know who you're talking about. And then he got mad and attacked them. It's like he assumed he was the unfunny comedian. So
They knew it. They made it pretty obvious. First initial B.
So again, I don't hate Brendan Schaub, like, and I'm saying that because I unfortunately enjoy watching people bully him. So like, I'm kind of sad, like we're gonna lose some content, but no, I do feel bad a little bit to watch him kind of like, tap out kind of thing. So hey, man, I hope he figures it out. I think the podcast already making enough money. He's not losing anything, so he should be okay.
But UFC reference. I see what you did there.
But,
pretty good.
But yeah, maybe comedy's not for everybody. So
apparently not.
Don't look at me and say that.
I mean,
what?
No, I don't like that. Like,
World shop. World shop. It's like, I'm kidding.
I'm gonna fuck you up. Don't do that.
I'm kidding. No. All right. So moving on. Still internet news. The Grammys happened this past weekend, where the goddess SZA took home, her first, not first Grammy, but a Grammy for best song for Snooze. So shout out to her. But Roy, we had some interesting news from Jay-Z. You want to let us know what your boy was talking about?
Oh, yeah. Jay-Z decided to get on his pedestal at the Grammys and let us all know that award shows don't get it right all the time. You know what I'm saying? That some of the people in the audience didn't deserve to even be nominated. And that to treat his wife with the respect that she deserves. Me personally, I just want to say that Kanye said this
years ago, you know. He literally stood up on there and said everything that you already said, Jay-Z, for your wife. And you did not back him or support him. But now we got to go back and be like, yeah, yeah, Jay-Z's right. Yeah, oh, no, this is a hip-hop. This is a moment in hip-hop right here. You know what I'm saying?
God. We got
taking his Lifetime Achievement Award, his Black Grammy, and drinking out that bitch as soon as he got the award.
With Doucet.
With Doucet to make sure y'all knew that. You know, we don't give a fuck about being here. We only here so I can get this, Lifetime Award. And we are not coming back here. You know, we just wanted to make sure Blue Ivy had a good time, that she had a moment. She could say she got her Grammy. She's been here, but we ain't coming back. We'll be back in probably 10 years when she's making her own music. So
when you see Blue, does it make y'all feel old, by the way?
No. Nah.
Really? I don't look at her.
Nah, I don't be.
Nigga, I'm fucking baby not too long ago.
I don't really think about it like that. But all to say, I mean, this was one moment at the Grammys in general. Killer Mike also swept in the hip hop award nominations. He won everything. Fake.
Watch your head. Don't suck your teeth, nigga. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
Is it still deserved? Because I was like, all right, so album of the year, whatever, but like.
There we go.
Rap album of the year. Rap album of the year.
Over Metro Boomin, who had like a fantastic year, son.
Like, I wanted Metro Boomin. That's a fact.
Metro Boomin over Travis Scott. Like,
I wanted Travis Scott to win too.
I wanted Metro Boomin to win.
Yeah, Travis Scott got snubbed for the Astroworld, like, was it 5 years ago, right? Yeah, even that was like the end of the documentary. So it's like, that makes it hurt more that like another lead up and another failure. But
Did anyone listen to the Killer Mike album? Like, I played like a few songs and was like, they're good. I didn't even know Killer Mike even dropped an album, let alone a solo album without like
that is crazy.
I knew he dropped an album. That's crazy. Because this man been out for a minute. I knew the album came out this year. I knew the album was apparently really fucking good. Like, so it was clearly gonna be album of the year worthy, but I also know that I don't really necessarily like Killer Mike's politics at this point, so I can't go out here supporting him, even though it looks like he's a good Black man that's an activist apparently, but I can't go out here supporting him just due to his politics, you know what I'm saying?
I just want to touch on the Jay-Z speech. I think we need Jay-Z to sound like that more. I like when he's vocal. I am not one of the people that puts bells and whistles on everything Jay-Z does. Anytime Jay-Z drops a verse, it's the best verse in the world type of thing. But this was one of the few times I kind of appreciate shit talking. I think that's just me. So like, I like what he said. There's a couple names on here that aren't deserved, and everyone, then he's like, oh, my bad. When I get nervous, I tell the truth. Kind of leaned into that. It was cool. But it's like, he kind of like, I don't say he spat in people's face, but he kind of knows that he's always going to be cemented as the number one of number one, and no one can take that from him. Like, anybody can pass the numbers he's put out. Like, he's not even been like, I don't think he's outsold a lot of people that's been around him. Even when he was like popping, he was always just kind of like second, third place, but always regarded as the best rapper. Like, I want to be, everyone to be like Jay-Z or something. But I like this. I think Jay-Z needs to come out like this
same praise right now.
And I've been waiting to jump into. No, see, we're not doing that because Ye did some mad. Shout out to Ye, though. Ye did some Cooney shit. You can't do that. That wasn't the time.
Cooney shit?
That was the opposite of Cooney shit. What?
Cooney?
What? This nigga lit the porch on fire. What are you talking about?
Ye real life walked on stage while
He lit that porch on fire. Fuck your
What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
The C word is appropriate, but it was ignorant. It was ignorant. Look at Dewey.
That was safe, by the way. Good play.
But yeah, I can't say that word. That's
we got Malcolm X and we got MLK. Which side are you going on?
Whatever way Jay did, that was the more political, professional, well articulated.
Because he didn't have to be tuxedo, it was more professional.
Watch him out, because the dress was clean though. But he was well articulated, had his words together, and you know, very thoughtful, funny, comedic speech where, you know, like I said, them jokes, everybody was laughing in the room. Don't do that. Dang. He's a funny man. But now here's the thing. Now you gotta flip it to Ye. You know what Ye was off of, nigga? If you watch that goddamn award show, Ye walked in that bitch with a bottle of Henny. Ye was on one the whole time.
So?
You watch him go up there on that speech, but you just see sweat.
Does that make it any less true, though?
Yes, fam.
Mo's right. It's not always what you say; it's how you say it, and it lends credence to Jay-Z because Jay-Z makes everything cool.
That's on
like
y'all.
For him to go up there and slow walk y'all into why what he's saying is true. It lends credence to Jay-Z.
And it's my youngin'. It's me defending my youngin'. Like, I don't need my mans to go out his way to defend my joint. Like,
a nigga smack your girl ass. I try to defend her. You looking at me crazy?
It's not that serious.
It is that serious, but it's not even... He shouldn't even be
she
about...
She won an award. She didn't slap her ass. Like, y'all are making it seem... She won an award.
It's not. But look. Because y'all thinking about it as he for trying to protect her fucking dignity or whatever the fuck. No. It's about black art being respected. That's what the whole thing is about. Beyonce has not won album of the year yet. That's insane. I don't give a fuck about Taylor Swift. That's crazy. Yeah. The fact that Kendrick Lamar lost to Macklemore for hip hop album of the year, it's insane. The fact that he didn't win album of the year for fucking Pimp a Butterfly is insane. Like, y'all need to put more respect on rap and more respect on black art. The fact that Killer Mike won his award, that shit wasn't televised. Like, come on now. We need to.
So
that's all. My thing is, like, we're y'all taking what Jay is saying. I mean, Drake has been saying this for fucking years on Instagram.
Facts.
These award shows don't matter. We need to make our own award shows because they don't give a fuck about us because they keep changing the criteria year by year. Niggas talking about it's a popularity contest now instead of about the quality of the art. Make up your mind because fucking Beck beat fucking Beyonce. It don't make any damn sense.
Well, I also like what Jay said too because he actually touched on that where, once again, like, niggas do, you know, and I hate to put us on this category, but like, we do this whole, yo, we don't give a fuck about the Grammys. But like Jay said, you're watching it not too far away. You're still watching it. So you're still tapped into the shit.
Yeah.
So let's not do that right now. Now, mind you, I am with you all the way. Like, yo, Beyonce, when that Lemonade drop, like, had, you know, all shorties was talking about drinking some watermelon shit. Like, that shit was crazy. Like, it was a wave. It was a vibe. Hands down, should have won that shit. I'm not knocking that. But my only thing about that is, just like you said about representation and, you know, honoring or just, you know, bringing acknowledgement to black art. Now, which way do you want it? Do you want me to punch you in the face with this shit? Or do you want me to delicately present this joint in your hand? Like,
however the message gets out. Right? As long as the message gets out. Nah. Right?
No, it's never that. You know that too. If you care about your message, you should care about how people receive it. And when people receive it a certain way is what's gonna matter. And the other thing I just want to say about, like, people saying like the Grammys shouldn't matter and things like that, I definitely don't. I think it's weird that we have such a, or at least artists put so much stock in this vanity affair. Like, you guys are rich people with millions of followers. Beyonce has tickets selling for thousands of dollars,
so
selling out constantly.
Of that,
but you still putting, and you still putting stock in an album of the year Grammy is nuts to me. And, like,
bro, I'm so tired. There is no other award show. There's no other.
Why do you need an award show at all? Is what I'm saying.
In defense, the Grammy does give you, like, due to some interviews I did see, it does put you in a different bracket when it comes to record labels, when how you present yourself to, you know, when it comes to budgeting, this and that. So to some degree, I mean, just even the nominations is fine, but to actually win one, yeah, that does bring you into a different bracket. I will admit that much.
Same thing with with the Oscars. It's like, yo, I'm a Oscar nominated, Oscar one actor.
Yeah.
The price is now higher because of this.
Grammy nominated, whatever, Grammy nominated or Grammy award winning, whatever.
It's a title.
Bro, it's past that. It's the top. Look in that room. Who is in that room? Is your peers. It's you essentially saying that you're the top of your peers in this category that year. Insane. You're the top of the world at this one thing. Like, what? Yeah.
Well, how many Grammys has there happened where everyone agreed on the decision? It's more of a challenge to Grammys every single year. And the spectacle of the Grammys is why the Grammys aren't important every year instead of, oh, man, I'm so happy she won. Like, nobody really cares. Like, this is, like, the first time I was surprised Killer Mike won, but I did see a lot of people happy that he won, and I wasn't mad at it. It's like, okay.
To get arrested after that was crazy, too, by the way.
Yeah, that was
crazy. Nah, shout out, son. I'm celebrating.
But yeah.
Fuck that.
You should have been, nigga.
I'm celebrating, bro. You gonna stop me? You can tell me anything after I won? After I beat Travis Scott, Drake, and Metro Boomin? You can tell me anything? I'm I'm getting arrested with them.
God is good. God is good. God is good.
Beating them out is impressive. But again, I mean, I don't ever watch the Grammys. I know none of y'all do either. We do the same thing where we
watch them out.
Happened, and then I we do. Come back and report on it.
I used to watch it. I used to watch it back in the day, but like I said, they don't even show all of our categories. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of performances.
Was it like 2005,
too.
6 when you used to watch it, right?
Yeah, like, bro. Like, it was like a few years ago we stopped watching it. Like,
I never watched the Grammy.
I like to see when Tyler the Creator won his first Grammy. That was a dope moment.
Some of the Grammy performances are something I was seeing on like Twitter. I saw like, oh, was it, didn't Travis Scott perform? Or
oh, no,
since
they performed a new song. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty good.
Biggest fan over there. What song did you like the song?
Of course, I loved the song. The performance. Yeah.
How was her stage performance actually? Because that actually brings up another topic I want to get to y'all real quick on.
It's great. She always has a good performance. Yeah. Check out that.
How do you guys feel? That's a fact. How do you guys feel about the slander that Nicki Minaj is getting for her stage performance and everything like that?
You mean the video of her like laying down her stomach screaming body? Body. That one or what were they talking about?
I didn't
about?
Watch it. I have no comments on it, so no, y'all. I didn't watch that shit. Did you watch it, Merle? Like, you brought it up.
I mean, it's cool. Like I said, I didn't watch it. I mean, I just saw the ass shaking, honestly. I mean, truth be told, that's usually where the realm of a lot of female artists go down. It's just ass shaking, so it's not like, you know.
Nah, crazy. And look, I was defending Nicki the last pop.
Just saw Ice Spice the other day.
Ice Spice. That's all she does. She just shake her ass on stage. Yeah, what she saying in the song. You pay $400K to do my little dance. That's it.
You a baddie for real. You know the lyrics.
I know that. It's a bar right there.
Those are my guys.
Talk your shit.
Shout out to that. Anything else for Grammy news or you want to move on?
Right. Lisa Ann got arrested that Grammy weekend. You want to talk about that?
At the Grammy, so.
Oh, never mind. That's what my crush show. I'm sorry.
It was the comedy topic. It was the Matt Rife show.
I missed it.
Yeah, it was right there.
Missed that train.
Look at Merle having notes but missing the mark. Damn. So close, bro.
All right, I'll jot that one down. Lisa Ann, no. Got it. What's next?
All right. Moving on to movies and TV. The Percy Jackson. I just broke this fucking spoon. That was crazy. Look at this. The Percy Jackson.
Chill out, He-Man. You look excited.
The Percy Jackson TV show just had its season one finale. And I am curious because Roy just picked up the show without me having to beg him to watch it. So I'm really interested to see what your thoughts are since you've only ever watched the show. I don't know anything about the books or anything.
No. I watched the movies. I watched, or at least I watched a movie. And unfortunately, that's all I could think of while I was watching the show. It's like, damn, I feel like I've seen this already. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the weirdest thing in the world.
Shit.
I'm dead ass. Yo, like, I was sitting there I've seen this.
He's about to snuff you.
And I was like,
he about to dump you.
I'm like, and now they're going to go to the casino thing. And then they're going to go to Hades.
I mean, yeah, it's a book. I don't really know what you want me to say. I was like, it's a book. It follows a story.
It's in a book.
He tied.
Say that you watch, read a manga. I was like, oh, they're gonna go here next. All right, cool. Yeah.
But I mean, in general, it's a solid watch. It's the vibe is like, I feel like Percy Jackson, the movie, is more like a PG-13 vibe, or at least on the line, and this is more in the PG realm. Which makes sense because the actors are way younger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is going to be great because, like you said, there's going to be so much more that they can adapt. So this is going to work out really well in the long run. It's just right now, it's just a little bit different, like I said. Just even the driving sequence was hilarious. Like, I'm like, oh, no, you really look like a kid behind the wheel. Like, in terms of just the show itself, the characters all did a great job, of course, you know. They're kid actors, but they all did their thing.
Yeah.
Someone you didn't like somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so much sass right there.
Grover, I wasn't a huge fan of him.
Grover in the movies, hilarious.
Brandon C. Jackson. Baby.
That's the problem. Yeah, when you got the comparison, that's what sucks. It's like, oh damn, the black guy kind of did better than the brown kid.
Should have told him to stay in Sesame Street, right?
No, too young for this.
Hello?
Yeah, you guys.
But other than that, the fight scenes, I wish the fight scenes were longer.
Yes.
A lot of them seem kind of quick. Percy, I wish there was a little bit better, like, showing you just how strong he is. Like, instead of just drawing him into this world and in, like, a couple episodes, he's already, like, you know, fighting people and beating people. Like, if there was, like, a training sequence, that'd be great. But, yeah, other than that, it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to season two. See where they're going
to
go next.
Would you recommend it to the two fellas in the pod, yeah?
Merle. I would recommend the Merle.
True.
It's my bag?
Me. It's your bag.
Yeah, it's definitely your bag.
Definitely your bag.
Yeah, for sure.
Say less. I'm on it.
I feel isolated.
Short as hell.
Yeah.
Episode so short, bro. Like,
I was just about to ask you about that, too. So what are we talking about? 40, 30?
30 to 45, I think.
I think the episode would have done better if they were, like, an hour long. And there's a lot of things missing from the books, and there's a lot of, like, switch-ups. But I appreciate it. You know, I'm a longtime fan over here. I've been waiting for this. I follow the author on his blog just to see a mention of the TV show. I like the show. I'm not a huge fan of season one right now, but because, like, again, they're child actors. Like, the first Harry Potter is the worst Harry Potter to me because they're all kids. It's fucking terrible. Like, same thing over here. There's, like, they're child actors, but, like, they're trying. Like, the dude plays Percy Jackson, Walker Scoville. Phenomenal ass job. He does way better than, like, most adult actors, for real. That's only his third movie. Also, his first movie was with Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, he plays like a younger version of Ryan Reynolds.
I got you.
To a T. It's like perfect. So when he got snatched to play this, I was like, oh, that's perfect casting. The girl who plays Annabeth, I forgot her name right now. It was like Lee or something like that, I believe. She's playing a white character that's in the books, and, you know, she's black. A lot of controversy behind that, but the author stands behind it. I stood behind the author, and she, like, to a T, plays Annabeth perfectly. Everyone is good until you get to Grover. It's like, damn, you could just... It's bad because he's, like, the oldest out of all of them, too. It's like, damn, bro, you just need just, like, a little more time in the oven. Like, just
a little more time in the oven. It's weird because, like, why is there a different kind of comedy between this Grover and the Grover in the movie?
Like, the Grover in the movie books too. Like, he doesn't act like that in the books. That's the old movie acts nothing like that at all. The character.
So you still the question?
What's up?
Oh no, I was about to say, you're still on a question I wanted to ask you, since you are the diehard nerd in this subject. I was like, what are some things that you kind of wish they kind of put into the series that was in the book that they missed out on? That you think?
So what was really missing was them trying to figure out who it is they're dealing with. Like, they pulled up to, like, Auntie Anne's Emporium, and it's like, oh, what is this? You see, like, statues around. In the books, they, like, it's like little, like, dropping little hints, like, oh, who the fuck is this, who we're dealing with? And obviously it's fucking Medusa, but in the show they figure it out like quick, and they, like, deal with Medusa quick. And in the book, there's like, we have to figure out who the fuck we're dealing with, why the fuck, like, how did they beat her in, like, the old stories, and how do we defeat her now? I just wish that was, you know, a bit more, because, like, again, they just come across someone and just, like, instantly defeat them. The same dude, like, Krusty, the stretcher, who, like, was on the bed, whatever. That scene, that's a whole chapter, and it's, like, all of 5 minutes. It's, like, the opening scene in, like, one of the episodes, and it lasts, like, 3 minutes, maybe.
Damn.
It's like damn. So that's one thing I really do. It's like, just longer scenes, just longer fight scenes. I don't really have a problem with any of the fights. I think it's a good watch. Abdul's not gonna enjoy it, but I say kind of tune in for, like, when we get to season three, if we get to season three, hopefully, because that's when it really is like, oh, you'll like it now, because, like, they're adults, and that's where most of the fighting is at.
CGI rating, what would you give to it? Because I can already tell this
CGI
is
good,
this,
right?
It's good, dude. It's way good. Better than any fucking, like, those Marvel TV shows. Those fucking, those Marvel TV shows. It's insane.
He's shooting off the hip right now. That's crazy.
Dude, the production is good.
Good, dude.
Soundtrack is good. Like, cinematography, shots. I have no problem with any of that. It's literally just, like, some of the acting, because they're child actors, right? And then the fact that I've already seen this. So, like, to DeAndre's point, if we got more of that, like you said, like, using some more of the Greek mythology just to, like, really break down. They were using, like, hints of it, but if they, like, really delved into that so we can understand, like, this is how we can beat this person, or this is how we beat this person.
Yeah, just give us some strategy.
Like, I need... Yeah, let me get some education. Let me learn some Greek mythology while I watch some shows. I like that.
Pretty much, yeah. But
so I got out the movie.
Bro, I think it's definitely your bag. If you haven't seen it, I know you haven't seen it, but you should definitely check it out. I think it's definitely your bag. I'm doing that so much. Again, it's childish because it's a child's book. I read this when I was like in like eighth grade or something. Like
ha ha! I'm more childish than you.
Yeah. Understood.
No blood for you. After
no blood.
No adult. I'm like, y'all bag, man. Go for it.
Yeah.
I don't even like when you say that like that. Watch your mouth. there's a subtle undertone tone with me. I don't like that.
I go for it, man. It's you guys.
I'll do that.
But yeah, moving on to gaming news. This game has been in the news for just a bunch of a whole lot of negativity. Suicide Squad, Killer Justice League. I actually got to play the game, spend time on it. It's not as bad as everyone says it is. Like, I got 8 hours on it. I'm not super far at all. I'm playing by myself, so like it's hard to like, you know, really move the story along. There's like four characters play. The traversal was fun. I'm only switching between Captain Boomerang and Harley Quinn because I like those characters, but the story is good. Voice acting is on like top notch. I like the back and forth between all the characters. Combat is fun. I don't feel as though it's repetitive yet. Every time I do something, I'm unlocking something else to add on to what's already happening. I did one thing and I unlocked like a Riddler thing, and then I did another thing and I unlocked like, oh, you now have skills. It's like, oh, you also now have more guns. If you do this, you can get like better guns. So like, the whole looter shooter aspect is there, but I feel like it's obtainable because like all you gotta do is play the game. And most looter shooters, you're like, all right, I want this gun. You gotta buy it. Throw some money, you get it. I haven't run into that yet. I'm not saying that it's not in the game, just haven't run into it yet. But Abdul, I know if you've seen some media going around. What are they saying? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Can I interject real quick? Just real quick, sir. I'm sorry. Sorry, Dooley. It's Black History Month, and so you're telling me you're not going to use the one black character that's on this team?
He's fun, but it's like, if you were standing in one place and you had to shoot him, that's where he comes in. It's just like, that's not what this game is. It's like Sunset Overdrive. It's like, you have to keep moving. You're getting style points for the way you take down an enemy. You're getting shot at from every which way. So if I'm moving, it's fun. If I'm standing still, I'm getting blasted.
Heard excuses. Abdul, Sana.
I've been pretty much following what's been happening. I was watching like a lot of gameplay. I've spoiled the game fully for myself as well. Watched the ending, watched all the boss fights and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the game is called Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. I think Suicide Squad as a cast has always been likable. Outside of like maybe one of the live action movies, but the cartoons, the comics, whatever, you'll enjoy it. So it's good to know that you're saying that the voice acting is good. I think the game, from what it looks like, seems like it's confused on what it wants to be. Like, I think it's supposed to be set in the Arkham universe, so set right after Arkham Knight, which was a major pivotal game for the Arkham universe. Kevin Conroy as Batman and everything like that.
R.I.P.
So for this, R.I.P., for this to be the sequel and it to be like a looter shooter, it feels like a completely different flavor of a game where like they kind of have these hard-driven story elements, but the story is kind of not hitting the way they want. I do think some of the criticisms are valid as far as this game focuses too much on being a looter shooter, but not really giving us like the end game for all of the characters and everything like that. I also think some fans are going crazy that, newsflash, it's called Kill the Justice League, so you might see Justice League members get killed. Like, it's kind of like the in the title, so I don't understand that. I think this game kind of looks like the Marvel's Avengers type of game for DC. I think it should have leaned more as like the Guardians of the Galaxy instead, where like it was just strictly a narrative. It wasn't really built on like co-op gameplay. It was more so like trying to tell us a story really quickly of these people. And I think that's what kind of threw everybody off. Even when this game was being previewed, everyone's talking about like, what is this? I'm just jumping around and shooting orbs and like collecting or defending cars for like a set amount of time. And then like, you know, gathering more XP and things like that. Like that shit gets drained really quickly. And two, I'm one of those guys. I don't really need to play with my friends, boss. Like I like to just have my own game and enjoy it on my own time type of thing. So I think that's where it's kind of been at right now. And I think the average, the Metacritic score right now is at like 63 for this game. So
damn.
No, I mean, I guess it's fair. Like it's a very fair, like everything that you said, I kind of agree with. Like I didn't spend $60 on it. I spent 30 on it. I went half. I don't think this is worth $60. Like if anything, this game would probably shine on Game Pass at that. I do think there's fun to be had, but I do see like this not being for everyone. Like if you enjoy Destiny, I think you'll enjoy this. If you enjoy Sunset Overdrive, you'll enjoy this. Way better than that damn Gotham 19 that came out. Like it's the movement is way more fluid and everything like that. So it's a story, but
I was going to argue that I'm after seeing the bashful review of this game, I've been seeing people turn on Gotham Knights, meaning like I think I'd rather go play Gotham Knights. Even me, like when I see cutscenes of Gotham Knights, like him fighting Ra's al Ghul and shit like that, I'm like, I don't want to see.
I played the game. It's like the most slow, molasses-driven ass fucking game. The combat is not what you think Arkham. You're probably thinking of like Arkham City or like
Arkham
that.
City,
it's
Arkham
not like
Knight,
that at all. It's slow as fuck. It's not. I couldn't even get past like maybe like 2 hours. I turned that shit directly the fuck off.
Yeah, it's just disappointing because this game was announced in 2020. Do you remember when we watched that DC unveil thing and like it's 2024 and the game finally released, and even before it released it was getting like I guess just bashed by critics and fans alike, and now it's came out and like there's a good amount of people that do like it or say it's fun, but then those same people that say it's fun are also admitting that like, hey, it's only like 10 hours of story for a $70 game that we waited 4 years for. Is it really that game? And like a lot of these looter shooters like Destiny and stuff, I got bored of really quick. After you play the first two or three boss battles or something, the game is the exact same. It's very redundant, very repetitive. And like, I like after seeing like a lot of the Would You Watch It Agains, everyone's pretty much breakdown of the game was essentially hitting the same criticisms. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to. I know I'm not going to enjoy loot. I don't really like those type of games. Like, I'm more of a narrative guy. You can have, like, certain, like, RPG elements of, like, upgrading and things like that, but this seemed like it was more focused on that than it was in the narrative.
It's all gear, all movement, and it hasn't become repetitive to me. It's only have a few hours of it. It's just, like, a first impressions. Like, I'm having fun playing it by myself right now. Like, it's fun. It's fun to be had, but, like, $70 for this game, absolutely. Am I spending any more money in the store for it? Absolutely not. It's cool to have before I'm waiting on Final Fantasy to come out. This is something I'm turning on every now and then.
How many members of Justice League have you killed already?
I haven't got any. I'm about to go fight Green Lantern. I literally haven't done anything besides like jump around. I'm just trying to get like a feel for it, you know?
That Green Lantern joint, I saw that kind of broke the internet. Fans was not a fan of that.
I think he's watched all the cutscenes. Just haven't played the game. It's crazy.
It's everywhere. It's like, everywhere.
I have not played the game at all, but I know how the game ends. Seen the gameplay. It looks.
I know. I want to know what happens, but I don't want to play it. It's so funny to me.
Yeah. I'm a nut job.
Before it released, they showed like the very ending of the game. I was like, damn, I don't know if I want to play. And in his defense, it's like, it's in the title. What did y'all think was going to happen type of thing? And I know what it is. Like, I even know the story, like the whole Brainiac element and all that. But it's I don't know, man. I think, I don't know. I don't hope the superhero fatigue from movies and shows hasn't bled into games, because I love superhero games. I love the Arkham games.
This isn't stopping me from playing.
This was a letdown.
This isn't stopping me from playing superhero games.
Sounds like y'all need some Japanese RPG in your, you know, looter shooter.
Sounds about right.
So moving on to slow gaming news. I finally convinced Roy to download Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. I super enjoyed this game. Roy just started it not too long ago. I do want to hear your thoughts, Roy. What do you think so far? Was it worth the $60 I made you spend?
I mean it's good. It's I'm having a good time. Like you said, it's a JRPG, but you get to play with like your initial four in your party, but then you can play from what? It seems like you can play with like 15, 30 different characters.
Yeah, you're going to add more characters in your.
Yeah, add more characters, switch them out, and you can play. You can basically main those as your character that you're going to use to beat the game, beat quests, or if you want to, like, say, me and DeAndre are playing in a party together earlier and we're just crushing quests. Like, it's solid. Like, it's I'm definitely waiting for more, you know what I'm saying, because it definitely seems like it's big on like combos and all that sort of thing. I definitely want to get to the end game content to see just how much I really like it, but right now I'm definitely I'm in there, you know what I'm saying. I'm not
sitting in your lap. I gotta play this game, or I gotta turn. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm definitely enjoying my time playing the game, and getting through the story. The story's good too. Story's good too. I ain't got no problems with it. And I'm definitely interested in the story, the characters' back, their stories, and where they came from, how we even got to this place. You know what I'm saying? How they got into the party. You know what I'm saying? All of that stuff. So that's even part of the reason why I play with the main character instead of just switching off to one of these random characters, because, like, he's in the story. He's in the cutscenes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like the fact that all these characters are in the cutscenes and you get to see, like, where they came from and all that other shit.
So this is my Under the Bridge last podcast, but just to reiterate, it's like playing the remake of Final Fantasy VII, where, like, you play with different characters. Each character is different. This one's not, you can't switch the characters on the fly. You just have to, like, oh, I'm going to this mission. I want to use this character. Like I said, but each person plays completely different from the last person. Like, there's some people who's like, all right, cool, I have to set up, you know, my stuff before I can start attacking and, like, start buffing my my party before I can do anything. It's like, oh, my flowers got taken down. I gotta reset up through everything. Other characters just like, I do DPS. That's all I'm good for. I'm a tank and I'm fucking niggas up. There's healers, there's spellcasters, there's people with guns. It's a fun ass game. I don't think Abdul will be your bag, but I think if you watch some gameplay, you'd be like, oh, that's really cool. Just not for me.
Yeah.
I don't knock games that look like that. I don't play Final Fantasy. It's just, I just feel like there's too much on my plate right now to
he said he's too good for it. Just say it.
I mean, how long is this game though? Like,
I knocked that shit in a day. Like, a lot of you
it
took off.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I keep going to the main menu and it's like, hey dog, hey big dog, you're like 50%. I'm like, wait, hold up, what? Like, already? Like,
the real game is the end game. That's what it really is.
Yeah, slow down, big dog. You're halfway there.
But that's the thing, is you want to speed through the game so you can get to the end game. You know what I'm saying? You want to put the game down. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to take up too much of your time. So, but if it's the end game's worth it, you know what I'm saying? The future DLC is worth it, then I'm willing to be there. You know what I'm saying? It's now, if you want me to put this up to like the games, recent games I played, not the same bag, but similar ish bag, like Remnant 2.
I got nothing on Remnant 2.
It's not beating Remnant 2. You know, Remnant 2 was a $27 game, but that junk, that shit had me.
Yeah,
that shit. I was completely in there. Like, I was make your own character and do all that kind of shit. But like this one's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I love those content dense games. Those get intimidating for me, where it's like, this looks like too much shit to do.
Yeah,
so
I think your story driven games are just like one singular story. There's nothing else for you to do besides like, oh, there's a side quest here. I think those singular stories are good, but like sometimes I just need an overcrowded game just to keep me busy. Like, I appreciate Destiny 2s, I appreciate Remnant, all of that. Like, I just need something to do besides just the main story, you know. Like, the main story is the main core. I need some sides. I need Korean barbecue in my life, so I really need.
I need some sides. Nice.
Nah, I'm an entree guy. No drink.
No drink.
I get what you're saying, Abdul. Like, I'm like in the past, I've been like, all right, if I'm gonna play this shit, I'm getting it done, and I'm getting this out of here. But this recently, I've been like, oh no, let me hit this side quest. You know what I'm saying? Because it's funny because you're saying that you're a platinum guy at the same time. So
So
I'm definitely want to I'm not gonna go full completionist, but I'm definitely like, oh, let me like I got to a new town. I was like, I need to go back to the old town because I didn't do the side quest. And let me just
hearing y'all niggas whine and dine y'all games is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends what you're looking for. Like, they like content dense games with many upgrades and things like that. I like that. I like elements of that sometimes in games. Like, God of War has a lot of elements like that. But I like the focus to be on the narrative, the cutscenes, like literally kind of experience it almost like a movie type of thing. I'm like, oh,
and the thing is, they have all that in Grand Blue. Like, all your cutscenes and character moments.
Shout out to that.
Voice acted cutscenes. They even have little videos just breaking down their stories even more, just like that you even get like stats for watching. It's like, okay, so this
stats for watching.
Yeah, you can upgrade your first gets more health, more attack, or they can another slot to add, you know, more gear to if you just watch some of their background stories. And this game is cool. Like, everyone thought this game would be a gacha game, meaning like, oh, you want these characters? That's $15, sir. It's like, nope. All you gotta do is play the game and you unlock everything, skill tree included. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I can't believe that that's level. A bar for games now. Like, oh, there's not microtransactions. Right? There never
should have been. I was like, oh, I paid $6 for this full game and got the whole game. Oh, shit. We in there now.
Shout out to Mortal Kombat.
Leveling up by cucking in your game is crazy, by the way.
Who's cucking in the game?
No, somebody's cucking. You said you guys are leveling up by just watching?
Yeah, watching like the background story. What?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, leveling up by cucking is crazy. That's but so look, what platform is this on, by the way, real quick?
PlayStation and PC.
Okay.
So you have a PlayStation, okay. So you should buy it.
Even a PlayStation game I skipped. I'm like, ugh.
I take it you two nerds are playing this shit on PC, yeah?
PlayStation.
Mm, no, they're
PlayStation. It's really? Nice to be able to just load up your PS5, station. Bro. Put it on a 4K TV and just go to work.
Let's turn it on.
Easy. I got you. I hear you. Put on your 4K, baby. Boss.
Come on, man. Know what we're here for?
Speaking of consoles, Abdul can wait to get to this one. So I'm going to throw it to you, Big Dog. What you got?
It's like that. Now, I showed you, DeAndre, I showed all of you guys pretty much my timeline. Essentially what happened was, like, I want to say 2 or 3 days ago, Microsoft had announced that Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves, which are known Xbox exclusives, are going over to PlayStation, but these are kind of like indie games that nobody really cares about. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care about them. But after that, the major exclusive that was announced for Xbox was Starfield, you know, this past year. And that was announced to go to PlayStation, right? And what that did was, after that announcement, the next thing that came out was like, well, that might not be the only thing that's going over to PlayStation. Gears of War and Halo collection might also be going over to PlayStation, which was a big red flag, because these are staples of Xbox. These are the reason people buy Xbox. These are like technically the console selling games for Xbox that are going to be going over to PlayStation, right? Now, Phil Spencer has been saying this all year that we are going to stay in third place. There's no way we're going to get out of it. We are leaning into going third party now. Eventually, you might see all our games on Sony and Nintendo, right? So with all of these complaints, all of these Xbox fans and everybody coming out and saying like, yo, what the hell? Like, I spent $500 on an obsolete box because the other $500 box can play all the same exact games now and plays them in better performance. Like, even Starfield, you guys know it came out in 30 FPS. Now the PS5 Pro is coming out and people are like, the PS5 Pro looks even more enticing to play Starfield type of thing on or whatever. So it's really interesting. But funny enough, Phil Spencer heard everybody's concerns, and his response was, hey, we hear what you guys are saying. We understand all everybody's worry. There will be an announcement next week. I'm someone that bought an Xbox and a PlayStation. I've always been team PlayStation because I've enjoyed PlayStation games more. I used to love Gears a lot. I used to like Halo, but those games have been falling off to me. I've been very vocal about that. The Game Pass strategy has been very not lucrative for Xbox. Them spending $70 billion on Bethesda kind of backfired. They've had a lot of layoffs and shit, and now we're here where all their exclusives are going. So Xbox has become the new Sega. I want to know what you guys think now.
I don't think anyone here besides you owns an Xbox, so.
That's crazy too. Xbox.
The one that be shit on Xbox the most.
Actually,
got an Xbox. It's crazy.
I hate myself.
I've been PC gaming for a while. Playing Xbox games on your PC is way better than playing on Xbox. By the way, just throwing that out there. My Gears has never looked crispier on my PC, so it looks amazing. I dropped off Xbox after the Xbox One. Then, after I stopped getting games for it, I was like, "All right, bro, I'm going to PC." Then, you know.
I think a lot of people do.
I kind of saw this coming with PlayStation also doing the game, their version of Game Pass, and it being like, all right, but the catalog is way better than this. Like, we have all our old games on there. I think that's a better selling point than the Game Pass, where like, you have indie games on there and somewhat some new games, but like, bro, they have Ghost of Tsushima on like the PlayStation one. Like, I just need a PlayStation subscription. I can play Ghost of Tsushima. It's like, you kind of just won there. Like, that's the W of the century right there. I'm going to Switch is kind of weird to me, though. Like, playing Gears on the Switch is going to be...
Yeah.
That's I think that's
hey,
watch your mouth.
Mortal Kombat.
That's nasty, bro. Playing Mortal Kombat and Gears on your Switch is super nasty. All right.
I'm not doing that, but watch your mouth. That Arceus was live.
It's not powerful enough to sustain those. But
yeah, exactly.
Them going to third party, way is I guess is like the best move for them, because like, again, they weren't winning this console war. I don't know who won the last one.
PlayStation.
If you did, I agree with you.
Well, I mean, I guess Switch outsold both PlayStation and Xbox and the PS4 generation.
This is a good move for them going third party. Just going strictly like we'll be a publisher now of video games is I think a better move for them, because like PlayStation has the exclusive, so I'm like. Yeah, I bought a PS4 just to play Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts. So like, I didn't buy an Xbox. I didn't play anything on Xbox. So
yeah, literally, legit.
I mean, Roy, did you think anything? I mean, you tapped out of Xbox 2, the same generation.
Xbox 360, man. But I mean, lots of good memories. You know, lots of that was my console. But to switch off. Mostly because, like you said, exclusives, and PlayStation had all the Japanese games that I had never played. So that's the first thing I wanted to do.
They got me.
I wanted to play Persona, and it was on PlayStation. So I switched over, and then luckily that was a great decision because, you know, PlayStation and Sony just took over, starting with the PS4, and they have not looked back since. So, I mean, at this point, I don't know, you know, sorry, Tess, I don't know why you have an Xbox. You know what I'm saying? Other than just to be able to have like a prepackaged console that you know the game will play on. Because as much as we love our PCs are work. You know what I'm saying? I do have to delete games when I want to play new games. And I do have to make sure the game can play on.
You have a PC.
Yeah, you got to make sure it can run on there. But the Xbox, you know what I'm saying? You know the game's going to run on there. Depending on how well it's going to go. So. Hopefully, I mean, it sounds like they threw in a white towel, so you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this is gonna.
Yeah. And I'm disappointed a little bit because like I'm also wondering like the people like you said to get a $500 console out the box to play a game that's ready to go like a Gears of War out the box type of thing. There's a lot of people that are console gamers. Like Usman's a console gamer. Merle's probably a console gamer technically. most people don't like PC gaming is like almost a type of gaming if that makes sense, right? So that's why I don't always incorporate PC and console at the same time.
I can play God of War on my Xbox. I mean, on my PC. Yeah. I did. Honestly,
PC now, 2018. Yeah. So, like, I guess that's why it's really disappointing to see that, like, people that only got an Xbox per se for Christmas, like, a lot of kids growing up don't get the luxury of both consoles, they only get one. And now, if you're married to an ecosystem that's shared, you're getting the shitty third party games. They run worse on Xbox, apparently, than PlayStation, like Star Wars or Resident Evil run worse. And now you have a PlayStation Tech and your exclusives on top of that. I never thought I'd see the world where Halo ends up on PlayStation. So if this is true, it really is sad. The only other thing now they're saying is that, like, I think the last Xbox fanboy debate is that Game Pass being available on PlayStation means they can potentially try to sell games at full price, like Gears of War 6 or something at full price on PlayStation, potentially recoup that money to like keep their ecosystem of Game Pass going. Now that's their final argument. Pitiful, but whatever, we'll let it happen.
Wait, what is the argument?
It's kind of like the argument is pretty much saying that they with them get that they're like, we're happy, we're okay if PlayStation pays for the games that we're getting on Game Pass. Essentially saying like if we even allow Game Pass or allow these games to get over to PlayStation, PlayStation would have to pay for them, like pay $70 for the game, whereas Game Pass subscribers would have the games day one.
I mean, that's
at launch.
That's fine, bro. I don't have to buy a $500 system just to play this one game, you know? So that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You're still saving money there. And that's what I'm saying. And the other thing is I don't even believe in that. That's just the theory going around because right now PlayStation has the leverage. You guys are losing. So for us to even allow you to put a game on our platform at this point, like we have that decision. You know what I mean? Like we hold the lever. I'm saying we, like I'm in PlayStation, but I was like, PlayStation holds that leverage. I don't know. Like I know I've said it before where it's over for Xbox. I just didn't think Xbox would fully become Sega. So like even like shout out to Tess, I love you when he says y'all are selling our product. No, y'all are the product at this point.
Oh, like, mic drop.
Are the product we moving at this point? And it is crazy. I think I think if this news is confirmed, let's say by next week, I really might go forward and go ahead and trade in that Series X in my living room, because what the hell am I doing? Like, there's really no point anymore.
Get $100 back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe. That's all.
Hey, that's crazy. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. Just know what this thing
is. The last great debate for the systems is like, hey, man, which controller would you rather play your games on? I'm still with the fence that, like, hey, this is better for shooters. Well, actually, no. A keyboard is better for shooters. I like my fighting games on PlayStation, though, so.
Yep. Come on, son. Look, Nero got a PS4. People love the PS4 controller more than PS5.
This is nostalgic. That's why.
Wait, are you playing your PS5 with a PS4 controller?
No, my PS5. This is for my PC. Remember, this is how I play.
Yeah, you.
This is how I play Baldur's Gate 3.
That's crazy. It was an Xbox controller.
Now people love that controller. I mean, even in that controller debate, like earlier this generation was what's it called? Like Xbox asked, like, should we incorporate the same haptic feedback that PlayStation has?
Damn batteries so, like, out. That's what you fucking
batteries
do.
Out. And that's people a like, fact. That's people a like Tess. Fact. People like Tess are saying you have the option to buy it, like you're not forced to have AA batteries. Like, I don't know. I always think he's trolling us, but, like, you know, people are cool with it, whatever. And then the last thing I just want to touch on is that I think this is Microsoft's exit from the gaming business, potentially. The only other rumor on the horizon, they're not having a mid-gen refresh, but they're potentially going into the handheld market. I don't know how stupid of a move y'all think that is, but the next rumor on the horizon is that in 2026, they're coming out with like a Switch type of handheld where you can dock to TV.
That's a good move. You think of Xbox as just Xbox. It's Microsoft, my nigga. It's Microsoft that's all on all your computers right now. I think that's going to be a fantastic thing for them to do.
Game changer.
Because you already have, the Rogue? What does that run? Windows, right? All right, Windows. Here we go right there.
So you have PC Game Pass and you have Steam.
That's going to be good. Because everyone's coming up with their own version of a Steam Deck, like whether it be the Rogue or whatever else that was out there. I think if Microsoft was to drop, like, it was a handheld that plays, you know, it's essentially a PC. They're basically selling you a PC. I think that's a good move for them.
I feel like it'll be like the Steam Deck, just Game Pass instead of Steam. Like,
Windows.
It'll be Windows.
Not even just that. Yeah. It's Microsoft as, like, the developer and creator of the hardware, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And whoever the fuck did Steam, so yeah.
The only way I could see it kind of winning is like if they say, you know, Game Pass can no longer be available on anything except this, like, whatever Xbox handheld thing they have or something. I could see that maybe being a strategy, but if I was a betting man, and I've been right so far, you already lost the console war. So tapping into the handheld market that's being ran by Nintendo, that like Steam Deck and like Rogue and shit are trying to catch up to, joining another losing war.
I don't think it's a losing war. Really, I think that's, I was like, oh, that's actually really good for you. Because again, like, what do all the Steam Decks and everything else runs on? It runs on Windows. The creator of Windows is behind Microsoft. I mean, it's behind Xbox.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way. As long as you have like some games on there, like have the Game Pass, have Steam, have maybe Nintendo if there's like a merger or whatever. Just have some games to play.
Yeah. I think Steam is just Steam, like the Steam OS. That's it. And it's not like anything else. You can't like run like a web browser. Like Rogue, it's a full computer on your thing. And you have Game Pass and
I think if you're gonna pull it off from Microsoft, like I think if they build a handheld, I think that'll get me interested, honestly. I might just buy that handheld and retire my PC to just editing purposes. Like
sounding like Tess right now. You know, a lot of faith.
I got a lot of faith in Microsoft, not just Xbox as a lone thing. Like, you're using your computer right now. It's Microsoft you're using right now, buddy.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that
could be wrong. It's just you don't have no track record of winning the console war, like, or the handheld war. Like, you know, Microsoft lost every generation, right? Xbox was outsold by the PS2. 360 was actually outsold by the PS3. And Xbox One got demolished, and so did the Series X. Now,
well,
so
I'm just saying, we all know in high school which one everybody was on. Yeah. Come on, now.
The 360.
We know.
Yeah, but even that, like, I remember thinking like it was more popular. But even at the end of it, it's like PS3 sold more copies.
I mean,
than
fine.
Yo, look at this nigga. Yeah,
fine.
The numbers are the numbers. I'm not making this up.
Who had more fun? I think 360 had more fun. You were on Halo, that's whatever. You were on Gears than anybody. Like, you had fun on PlayStation by yourself.
No, I'm not even going to argue that. I think the 360 was the last time Xbox was good. So I'm not pushing back there. Modern at all. Warfare like, 2? Yeah, and that was on everything. But yeah, I loved it on Xbox. I love my X360, son. Shout out to that.
It's so. Just.
Shout out to the handheld, son.
Goodbye, Xbox.
If handhelds make a comeback, dude, I'm with it. I've been begging for a PSP. Ain't never got that shit again.
That's another thing. That's the one setback of Sony. I don't want to ramble on this, but yeah, they're allegedly coming out with another handheld.
Is it
too,
a PSP so. Too? Is it? Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be after releasing the Portal. So it's kind
of
like
I'd buy that. That's the point of it. I'm down for some handhelds, bro. Like the Switch is so unpowerful. It's just like. Come on, son. Y'all can literally make. Shut up.
Yo, my man.
Play a good game, right?
You good over there? What's up with you?
I'm playing Mirror's Edge on my road. Yeah, that shit was fire, dude. I love that.
Dual
Shaman
his rose. He was playing like the Wolverine game. I was like, bro, I'd buy this like to do that. That's fire. It looks good too. Yeah, it runs well. I was like, son, you telling me Microsoft
it runs at 120.
Microsoft builds one. I can play any game I want. Oh, it's over, bro.
Whatever y'all doing, I mean, that's fine. Just don't be bashing my Switch, all right? That's all I care about.
That toy.
That's all I care about. That's all I care about.
Game Boy is more powerful than that Switch.
Watch your mouth.
Loot the Xbox, man. Good run, y'all had. Good run, but you'll be missed. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, well, we are doing away with Under the Bridge, and now I'm bringing this to a new thing called What's On Your Mind. So... if there's any lingering questions that you guys have that you want to ask, I think you guys should bring it up now. I do have one just to get it started. Is there any movie or show that was too good or too sad that you guys can only watch once? Like for me, like I've only ever seen The Help, 7 Pounds, and what's the other one? The Pursuit of Happiness. I've only seen that joint once. And they're all really good, and they're all really sad. I never want to turn them on ever again. If you guys have a movie or shit like that.
That's a fact. Was 7 Pounds the other Will Smith joint where niggas giving up his organs and shit?
Yeah,
I'm not watching that again. Actually, yeah, you kind of smoked that. That's two. You listed the
Fruitvale
top two.
Station.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which joint?
Fruitvale Station, Michael B. Jordan.
Fruitvale.
Okay. Damn, see, that kind of got me from stop. I've only seen one, so I want to watch it.
Or you have one? Oh, you just gave one.
I said Fruitvale Station.
That was yours.
Yeah, that one. Everybody said he did.
Like, I can't see myself watching that, man. Just that movie, that script probably had like less than like 50 lines on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. This man was literally just walking around.
Oh, we always watching Abdul refresh your page. Around.
Yeah, Abdul refresh your page.
Damn,
bro, you got one or something that you can't watch again? It's too sad. Or you have a question?
Forrest Gump. I can't watch Forrest Gump. Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
What?
I can't watch Forrest Gump again.
Forrest Gump is a classic. You walk into somebody's house, not even somebody's house. Maybe your aunt.
It's just on TBS.
Yeah, I watch it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you just sit down.
Nigga.
You're going to say, turn this channel. I don't want to see the ending of this movie.
I'm going to go on my phone. Bruh, my man's read when that nigga read that note at Jenny's grave and it's raining and shit, bro, I got to crying. I ain't going to lie. Y'all niggas tweaking. I'm not watching that shit again. I'm not putting myself emotionally through that again.
I've seen Forrest Gump like multiple times.
I think I saw Forrest Gump for the first time in school, bro. Mm. Like, it's one of those movies. Like, it's gonna come on. It's
also, what's another joint? No, keep going. What were you about to say, Roy?
No, I'm trying to think of another movie, but I just realized I don't watch a lot of sad movies.
Or this movie that's way too good. Like, yo, this movie is so good. I think a second time I'm gonna compare it to the first time I saw it.
I would say this, like me personally, I told y'all before, like I am not a person that likes rewatching stuff for the most part. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know.
Or at least I'm a fake non-rewatcher.
Yeah, it's,
you know what I'm saying?
A fake non-rewatcher.
Yeah.
I just ran back Godzilla King of the Monsters the other day. I was like, this is a good movie, son. I don't care what people say. I like this shit.
Yeah, like if it's like some anime, that's a little bit different for some reason. But like,
oh shit.
If it's like a whole movie, I'd probably be like, I'm a bitch and complain until you put something else on. Cause I'm like, I already seen this. I don't watch this.
Damn. trying to think, what's another movie I was just like, nah, I'm good on. That's a good question.
Well, if you don't have anything, we can just end it right here.
Yeah, duly having malfunction issues.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us, y'all. We will, if you enjoyed the show, check us out on our YouTube channel, Geeked Up Productions. And don't forget to rate the show 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Don't forget, your rating helps us to build the algorithm and bring in new listeners. And we will catch you on the next one. Peace.